Hello again through the Word. We are back in Colossians 3 once more as we move into a short section of instructions for family and work relationships. Now, for most of the Bible, we do just one guide per chapter and occasionally put extra stuff on Side B on the Through the Word app. But this time, we're slowing down to grapple with some very powerful and sometimes controversial instructions on relationships. So let's read Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Wait, what did that just say? Did that say, wives, submit to your husbands? Yes, it did. And if that sort of rubs you the wrong way, I don't blame you. It does sound a little sexist. Does the Bible endorse inequality between men and women? Yet there are so many other verses that are empowering and liberating to women. And we just read in this same chapter one of the most powerful declarations of human equality anywhere. So is the Bible sexist or isn't it? Before I answer that, I want to help you with two essential rules for understanding the Bible as God meant it and help you steer clear of dangers. Danger number one is one-verse theology. Basing your beliefs about a matter on just one verse can get you into trouble. The Bible is a big book for a reason. Some verses apply to a particular situation or time period or people group. Other verses are simply quotes or symbolism or poetry, or they get misread due to translation, or they just plain don't stand alone. So the solution is context and balance. Always read a passage with its full context. That means the context of the whole passage and book, and the context of time period it was written in and the people it was written to. And always balance it out with other verses on the same topic. When you fit the meaning of one verse into the greater meaning of the whole Bible, it all comes together. Don't judge a puzzle by the appearance of one piece. And we'll help you with that as we go. Now, danger number two is skip-a-verse theology. Don't leave pieces out of the puzzle. That happens when you just skip any verse that you don't like. Basically, that puts you in authority over God. The solution is humility. Understand that God is God and you and I are not. That's not to say ignore your instincts. If something sounds wrong, question it. But ask your question with humility enough to accept an answer that you might not like. And trust that sometimes God's way is just different from yours. So, with humility, we read again verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The instructions here are short, so let's follow our rules. First, context and balance. The context here is Paul's instructions on how to put on the new self, remade in the image of our Creator. This is part of God restoring us. And remember verse 11, where we are all made equal and one in Christ. That equality applies across all races, skin colors, to slave or free, and balancing that with the parallel verse in Galatians 3, it also applies to male and female. And this instruction for marriage is part of living out that oneness and equality. So why does it say wives submit to husbands? We have a much fuller explanation in Ephesians 5. There we see that every Christian is called to submit to one another. Submission is essential to every Christian relationship. Submission is not the same as subjugation. Submission here is a dignified act of free will, taken by a child of the king, an act of respect between equals. Submission is an expression of humility, respect, and love, and those are essential to marriage. In a Christian marriage, the husband and wife are one, united. And in order to work as one, each side is called to an act of sacrifice. Think about this. We get married at an altar. An altar is a place for sacrifice. Remember, that old self that we took off was selfish and greedy. But this is marriage for the new self, kind, humble, patient, forgiving. So wives, submit. That means let him lead. Sacrifice your God-given right to direct your own life and make all your own decisions. And that's a hard sacrifice. But there's a balance. Both sides sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives. Now, on its own, that verse sounds easy. Balance it with Ephesians 5, and you'll see that love here means lay down your life, the way Jesus laid down his life on the cross. Husband, you are entrusted with leadership, so you must sacrifice your selfish ambition. You lead for her sake. Lead by choosing the hardest road for you and the most benefit for her, like Jesus does for us. In fact, the husband is called to be a picture of Jesus, how he treats his church. We'll dig in further in Ephesians 5. And First Peter will remind every husband to treat your wife with respect because she is a co-heir of God. In other words, your wife is God's kid, same as you, equal, so respect her. And take note, that verse does not say all women submit to all men. Nope, this is for Christian marriage only, not for society, nor politics, nor the workplace. The full context of the Bible is fully liberating to women and men. But that liberty comes with responsibility and sacrifice. Next up, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Kids, obey mom and dad. Notice this relationship is different, but still a sacrifice. Obedience is an act of recognizing authority, and in this case, recognizing God's design for the family. Now, this doesn't attempt to address the more difficult issues of abusive parents or broken or mixed families, etc., etc. Wisdom is required. For now, the general rule, kids, obey mom and dad. Verse 21, fathers. The word here could also refer to both parents. Do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. In other words, don't make it difficult to obey you. Don't be harsh, overbearing, or selfish. Parent for your kids' sake. Parenting well requires a lot of sacrifice, and it will require you to give them commands that they don't want to obey. Eat healthy, stay clean, do homework, do laundry. So do that in a way that doesn't make them bitter or discouraged. Parent in such a way to give your kids courage and gratitude. And then, verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Okay, hold up. Did that just tell slaves to obey? Does the Bible endorse slavery? Remember our rules, context, balance, and humility. Context. Paul just said that in Christ there is neither slave nor free. Jesus destroys that division. But in the context of the time this was written, slavery was reality. About half the population in the Roman Empire were slaves. Paul could say, "You're not slaves anymore," but the empire wouldn't care. Paul's a prisoner. So Paul addresses the reality of the situation for slaves. As for slaves, we're going to dig in thoroughly on this topic in Philemon, where we'll see God's heart ultimately to set slaves free. Freedom for captives is a huge theme throughout the Bible. We'll get there, but for now, the command here applies to all of us who work. However right or wrong your situation might be, respect your boss. And Paul says, "And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord." I love verse 23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." In other words, your transformed life should transform how you work. No matter what your job is or who your earthly boss is, you work for Jesus now, and he pays well. And notice, verse 25 tells us there is no favoritism with Jesus. He doesn't honor men above women or masters above slaves. That's why the next verse in chapter 4 reminds masters to treat your slaves right. Give them what is fair. Hey, bosses, pay well. Treat them fairly, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And that's chapter 3. Remember, context, balance, and humility, and live the new self.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.